listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono.
Welcome back to Kathy is In, the Kathy DeBono Show. I'm Kathy DeBono. I'm also here with my lovely associate producer, Jill Bennett, who's also going to marry me one day, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes. You're going to say fiance, and I'm like, when do you get to say wife?
Well, we have
That's
to
a
do,
big word,
we
isn't it?
We have to do the dirty deed first, and then you're my wife.
Dirty deed?
Well, you know, it's a big step.
It's not dirty.
No, it's not dirty.
It's a beautiful thing.
Right, it's an expression, for crying out loud.
All right.
I'm also here with our little Becca Cates, who
I'm
she
not
just
little.
Rolled her eyes because she's an adult and she wants me to treat her like one.
I do.
Listen, you are an adult. You are a very much respectable adult. I think you're super extremely intelligent. You're going places, but you're my little Becca Cates. That's just
okay.
the way it is. Anywho, we have one of my favorite musicians coming in today. Her name's Allie Handel. We met Allie when we were doing We Have to Stop Now Season 2, and I was all over a good friend of ours, Jen Corday, for mm-hmm. musicians. And I was looking for music, and I was listening to CDs, and I think I found Allie on something called Venus Envy. Yeah, that Jen Corday did. And she had a song called While You're Here that is so gosh darn sexy. I can't curse because we're on one station with the FCC listening, but it's so sexy. There it is. Let it go. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
It's a very sexy song.
I had to have it. And so we have it and we have to stop. Now she's going to be here today. She's also going to play for us live.
Yeah, it's we played this song during the love scene between Cindy and your sister who on the show. And we
yes, not my actual sister.
Not your actual sister. That would be awkward. But and we've gone to film festivals all over the world, and we've screened it, and everyone loves that song. That's
yeah.
like, though, I would have to say, probably gets the most inquiries.
Oh, it gets under people's skin.
Yeah.
It really does. And it got under my skin. And while we were doing the soundtrack for the film, I was listening to it constantly, and I never, that's one of the songs I never, ever get sick of.
Yes, I love that song, too.
So, anyway, what's on our docket today? What are we doing? What's going on?
I do this outline for Kathy every show, and I print it out.
Outline, schmoutline. Things change from the house to the studio. Things change.
It sits
things
in
evolve.
In front of her, and then she goes, what do we talk about?
I don't want to talk about that. That's boring. I have since moved on to a new topic inside my head.
And that is?
Well, actually, no. It's the same topic.
Okay.
But we like to ask our guests beforehand different things about who they are and their lives and stuff, because what we do here on this show is we talk to people about who they are. We get to their products or their events or whatever it is that they have to offer the world. But mostly what we do here is we want to talk about the human being behind what they do
mm-hmm.
and who they are and get to know them a little more personally. And quite serendipitously, Allie was telling us about how her fear of death has been sort of a driving force in her art, in
right.
her life. And oddly enough, yesterday, April 11th, was the 11th year anniversary of my father's death. And I was with him when he died. He had a long struggle with lung cancer, 6 months of horribleness. And I was holding his hand when he passed, and I was whispering in his ear at the moment he passed. It was really quite a powerful moment for me and changed my life forever. And I had my mom calling me yesterday asking me if I had, quote, heard from my dad, because sometimes I have these kinds of experiences, although with my own family members or my friends, it's more strange and, mm-hmm. and harder to decipher what's actually messages are coming in or if I'm just having thoughts or dreams or what have you. But my mom called yesterday to just say, you know, did Daddy come through? Has he said anything? And I hadn't had any feelings or anything. And we hung up the phone, and Becca was there with me in the living room. We hung up the phone. I went to the bathroom, and I just said out loud to my dad, I was like, you know what? If you're around, could you send a sign or a signal or have something happen just so I can tell Mommy that you're there? And right at that moment, crashing thunder, and the skies opened up and it started raining. Now, it was raining
wow.
here yesterday and the night before in L.A., but it wasn't raining at that moment in time. And you guys know that in Southern California, it's a rare occasion to hear thunder.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
Right. So I came out of the bathroom, and Becca's eyes were like saucers. She knew what was going on. And I called my mom immediately, and I was like, well, this could be, you know,
right,
a signal. So I just thought that was kind of a fascinating synchronicity in, you know, Allie's fear of death driving her music and her art. And yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about that with her.
Well, we're kind of the opposite in that I haven't had a lot of death in my life. That sounded funny. Of course I haven't, because I'm here. Meaning family members or friends, I haven't lost that many people. I've lost my grandma and my grandpa, which for someone who's 36 is sort of normal. So I haven't had to deal with much of it. And I find that, you know, most people who know me would say I'm a very, like, when it comes to emotional stuff, I'm pretty, you know, like, it's all kind of inside and I don't really express it. But the few funerals that I have been to, I am a mess, disaster. I can't talk. I can't function. Like, I don't know. I cannot deal with it.
You weren't like that at your grandpa's funeral.
Well,
I mean, you were sad. You were feeling your feelings, and you know, you weren't at your best, but I wouldn't say you were falling apart.
I wasn't falling apart as much as I thought I would, but I think because he lived a really long life and he was ready to go.
It was one of those perfect scenarios, really.
Yeah.
Because if we all have to do it, you kind of want to do it the way your grandpa did it. He was kind of like, for crying out loud, I'm ready to go already.
Yeah.
I mean, we had gone to visit him 3 or 4 times to say
for
our last goodbye,
time,
right?
Yeah.
And every time we got there, he'd be like, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I'm ready to not be.
And then every time we'd get ready to go, he would say, this is the last time you're going to see me. I love you. And we'd always have the, like, is there anything else you need to say? Because I'm old and I'm going to die soon. And then it just kept happening. And this went on for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Stuff like we thought we'd never see him again. And then he'd be like, I'm still alive.
The last time we saw him, he was hilarious. We took a picture of him holding a Curve magazine, which you guys might know is a renowned lesbian magazine. And here's this 98-year-old man holding, it was the one we were on, right? And
yeah.
He was holding the cover of the, holding it up and smiling.
And then reading it afterward.
Zooming around his home in his little scooter, little roundabout scooter, knocking over furniture. Do you remember that?
Yes.
My God, what a character.
Well, the sign, I think, and what's appropriate to my grandpa, because he was an amazing man with a really great sense of humor, and some people have gotten to see some videos of him, is after the funeral, almost every family member got horrible food poisoning from the food that we ate at the
service. I thought I was going to die and you were going to have my funeral next.
I was just like, I'm sure my grandpa is laughing right now. Like, this is really, really funny that we ended this with everyone getting food poisoning.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like he might have had
something to do
with
that. Quite the hysterical exclamation point on that event.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well,
Becca, you've had the opposite experience in your lifetime in terms of experiencing death than Jill has.
Yes.
You started having to face that really young.
I did, yes.
What, how old were you when you first had to start understanding that someone you loved and you were close to was dying? Don't touch your mic. I can see.
Sorry. I probably was 12, I think, or 13.
Mm-hmm.
13. When I had a close friend of mine who was a year younger than me, was diagnosed with cancer when she was 10 and I was 11.
Wow.
And she ended up passing when I was 13 and she had just turned 12. So that was pretty horrific. I think the interesting thing about children dealing with death is that a lot of times parents don't know how to talk to their kids about it, especially when it's something as crazy as a child dying, you know? And
most kids that age, if they're going to deal with death, it's a grandpa or a grandma or something.
Right. And my first experience, I think it was my second funeral, was a 12-year-old little girl. And it was awful. And then when I was 16, my nanny that I had growing up, really more of like a second mom to me, passed away of breast cancer. And their diagnoses were, overlapped each other. So from 11 to 16, I always was dealing with cancer. So I kind of missed my adolescence, most of it. For a long time, my parents would, you know, after the fact would apologize to me saying, you know, we're so sorry that we had you witness that. We shouldn't have had you with them all the time. We shouldn't have had you visiting them. And it's like,
well, you can't shield people from death.
You can't. And it's just unfortunate that I had to see it at such a young age, but it, It definitely shaped the adult that I became or didn't become.
Well, do you feel like one of Kathy's favorite shows, one of her obsessions, is the Long Island Medium?
Love her!
Kathy loves that show. And
she is hilarious.
No, she's hilarious, but like, you have to really...
Teresa Caputo.
You have to believe that this is possible and that it happens, that people contact... Stop doing that right now, Becca. That people contact, you know, can contact the living or...
Well, if you watch her show, I mean, first we have to assume that it's not a complete setup, that there's not a script, that she's not an actor, that the people she's not running into are actors. If we believe all of that, then you watch this woman work and she is astoundingly accurate.
I know, which makes me wonder if it's real.
Well, I had an experience with my dad and John Edward. Three weeks after my dad passed, I found myself in a room with John Edward, who's a really famous medium, and he read to me from my dad for like 45 minutes. I was blown away. Right. And I wasn't even there to be read. I was there because someone else was getting read. She didn't have anyone come through. My dad took over.
Right.
For like 45 minutes, and it was amazing. He had messages for my mom, my sisters, and he used things that, you know, were signs that no one could know. He couldn't have known. I didn't, you know, it was amazing. So I do absolutely. And my own experiences, although of the medium kind, have been few, they've been there. So how do you get around knowing that some consciousness goes on beyond your body? All right.
That's a good question.
I'm getting the circly finger move from Joe. We have to go take a break. We'll be right back with Allie Handel.
Stay tuned. Kathy will be right back.
Licensed psychotherapist and coming out specialist Kathy DeBono is now available to provide the counseling and coming out support that you need to take this vital and necessary step. Kathy now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or communicate through an email exchange. With Kathy's help, you will thoroughly examine your unique life circumstances and create a plan that is tailor-made for you. For more information, go to kathyisin.com.
Lucky Dog Leather Jewelry Collections feature the hottest leather accessories around. At Lucky Dog Leather, we offer a wide variety of handmade leather belts, wristbands, and some of the coolest bracelets you will find anywhere. We custom make every piece to order so you get exactly the style and fit you've been looking for. Our original designs have been the choice of Star of Dexter, Michael C. Hall, American Idol winner Lee DeWise, and the voice finalist Vicky Martinez. Go to LuckyDogLeather.com. And set your cool free.
Lagaspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot, we're up to interpretations.
Welcome back. We are here with the very colorful...
She is.
Allie Handel.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you for being here, Allie.
That's good, Jill. Sorry, I had to whip up the crowd. It took me a second there.
I wish sometimes that we could just flash a little photo of our guests because Allie came in looking fantastic. Oh, my goodness.
We can tweet it.
Yeah, we can. We will. I will tweet a photo of Allie's fabulous colors later. Allie, thanks for being here. Honey, pull up that sexy song in the background again just for a second because I love it so much.
Here we go. It's coming.
I'm sure.
It's happening.
Wow, she is a wizard on that board.
No, it's. Oh, I see.
Oh boy.
There it
is. All right, there it is. Allie.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. Oh, recovering from a cold, but other than that, good.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, we've been talking about death. And the fear of death.
And, sorry.
That's okay.
Like, what do you want to talk about? Oh, death.
You know what? Death. tell me when, you know, when we had that questionnaire, sent you that little questionnaire, and that was the first thing that popped up for you. It seemed like it'd been something that's been with you and that been a driving force in your life.
From a very young age. Yeah.
How definitely. Did that begin for you?
Well, I think it also has to do, besides just having to do with death, is I was also raised an atheist. So I was raised to believe that you die and you turn to dirt and that's it.
Oh,
and
wow.
That always scared the hell out of me. Oh, am I allowed to say that?
I think hell is okay.
Hell is fine.
Okay, that scared me a lot. As you know, but as a little girl, I remember staying up, and sometimes it still happens to me. I get this overwhelming fear, like in the middle of the night, of just like what happens, like when I'm alone. I think it's a fear of being completely alone forever or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I'm not afraid to go to sleep.
Right.
I mean, I enjoy sleeping. That's,
well,
you know.
What do you think about what we were just talking about? Do you, like, this woman, this medium, and Kathy's had these experiences, like, if first of all, if you do believe that, then doesn't that give you some sort of comfort?
I don't, first of all, I'm married to a magician. And
fascinating twist.
It is very, well, and something to know about all magicians is they're all pretty much skeptics. And, you know, what you experienced even with John Edwards, I would venture to guess, was a cold reading technique. And these people do cheat, and they do
tell me
research
more.
People. I don't know too much about it, but all I know is that you can buy books that teach you how to do what probably, I don't know, I'm not familiar with this medium that you were talking about, Jill, but you can buy books and learn how to do cold reading, and people like John Edwards are completely ridiculed in the magic community. And these are people who, for a living, fool people.
Right.
You know? And,
well, magicians are definitely, like, magicians don't pretend that they're not doing a trick.
No, and I think that's a bit more honorable. I mean, if you listen to somebody like Penn and Teller, you know, Penn Jillette he's very outspoken against mediums and the like, because he feels like it's immoral to make people believe that, you know, especially if they're using techniques, which, you know, he believes that they are, communicating with people to give them either false hope or anything. Sometimes it's more upsetting for people, and you don't know how what you say that you're getting from the universe or whoever is going to do to them. You're not really responsible.
Oh, sure.
You just tell people, oh, this is what your father was saying, or your sister, or your grandfather, and you don't know how they're going to get that information, and if it's not true, and, you know, he holds that it's not. I just know it's something that you can learn.
So your husband's an atheist as well?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely.
How about you? How do you identify yourself?
I don't know. I mean, I really feel like I feel like there's something that's around, but like a force of nature. But I don't identify with believing in a god per se, or a person, or anything like that. But I really want to, but I just don't. Like, I wasn't raised that way, so I feel like it's, you know, a way to make ourselves feel better about being afraid of dying and being certain things that are just unexplainable. It seems like a lot easier just to say, well, this is the answer, and this is, you know.
Have you ever experienced anything that you couldn't explain?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't. You know, I haven't experienced anything that wasn't, you know, scientifically explained.
Right.
So, and I just don't trust people who have a monetary gain in putting that forward, like a lot of these people on TV. Like, they have something to gain. What about people, you know, and that doesn't, you know, just because I haven't experienced it doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but I just haven't experienced that.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Like, we have a close friend who is a psychic. Uh-huh. Or clairvoyant, rather.
Well, a clairvoyant is a type of psychic.
Okay, well, I don't know exactly.
Clairvoyant describes the particular skill that he has.
Right.
The particular psychic skill that he has.
Right, and he is considered, like, in his field to be one of the, you know, top people ever. And I, just knowing him as a person, like, I'm not trying to throw water on what you just said, but I cannot imagine that what he isn't doing isn't real. Like it, but at the same time,
he actually has the exact same views on it that Allie's talking about.
I know.
He is very skeptical when it comes to people who are charging for it. He doesn't believe that everybody's doing it. He knows that a lot of people are using it to their own advantage to create power or money or whatever it is. And he has such, and of course, people who are listening know we're talking about Dougal, our friend Dougal Frazier. And he has very strict boundaries about his integrity because will not participate in something that he feels could be sneaky or underhanded. Right. We were laughing one night at dinner because we had a friend over who's a entertainment lawyer, and Dougal was talking about how he got invited to do one of these 1-800 psychic things, and he met the people and he just didn't feel good about it, so he turned it down, but it was all this money, and our lawyer friend was like, "What?"
Yeah, it was like $10,000 a week. And he turned it down because of his...
Now, we've watched him work, and he's the real deal.
Yeah.
He's,
well, and I have a cousin, speaking of people who you trust, I have a cousin who is a scientist. Like, she has two PhDs from UCLA, and she has had personal experiences with this kind of stuff, and she's talked to me about it, and just unexplainable woo-woo stuff, and she is somebody, because I've known her since I was little, and she is literally a scientist, and she doesn't really things just happen to come to her, she doesn't control it or anything,
right.
But she's had premonitions, and she's had things that just are not explainable, so I do believe that sometimes it's out there, but I just, when, like, say I have a friend who I, don't necessarily think is the smartest person in the world. I saw a ghost, or there's a ghost in my house, or there's
right.
Like, really? I feel like people sometimes want to see these things.
Yeah, well, right? Absolutely,
and that
they do.
Plays into it, or because I've certainly been scared by things, but then it turns out it's never really anything.
Yeah, well, you never know. Like yesterday, definitely, I wanted to have a sign from my dad. So something like that, like a thunderclap like that, I would never say, it's definitely, absolutely, it can be a coincidence. But I think sometimes coincidences at really odd moments and odd places, you just have to say, well, why shouldn't I have faith in that?
And if it makes you feel better, that's not somebody exploiting that, though.
Yeah.
That's like the way you interpret the world, which I think is fine, but when somebody is saying, pay me some money and I will tell you all about what that thunderclap meant, what was he trying to tell you?
Right.
It's like, okay.
Well so you've embraced this atheism and this belief that we just die and nothing goes on. How do you think that that's really shaped you as an artist?
Well, I haven't embraced it. I totally wish I didn't believe it. Let me be clear about that. I have not embraced it. I've not come to terms with it at all. And I think that is why it shapes me as an artist. Just the fact that I'm even dedicated to being an artist, the name of my record label that I formed is Dessert First Records, as if life is short, eat dessert first, right?
I love it.
So, really it's like, do what's important to you and, while you can, because you never, ever know. That could be cut short literally today.
Yeah, it really does. That is really is the positive aspect of atheism. And it's like live life to the fullest. As if it's your last day, you'll never get, you won't have another chance. I think that's a really great thing to carry. That's something that death in my life has given me. Losing people starting at a young age, or I've lost, my dad, I've lost a best friend to suicide, I've lost people at different ages, and going through those different deaths, feeling how the sadness of losing someone is completely different each time. The pain of death is different each time, and just having it really instill in me this idea that what's really important, tomorrow could be the last day, and what will I wish that I have been thinking about today? Where will I wish that I had been putting my energy instead?
Yeah.
And what's important? So I think it's a really powerful and fascinating thing that death gives us, is the appreciation of life.
Yeah.
And you just lost someone very close to you that we can identify with. I know a lot of our listeners will identify with, but it was your kitty cat.
Yeah, Indy, my baby.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I'm so sorry. And you have a song about Indy that if everybody listens to the show through to the end, they're going to hear it, because we're playing at the end of the show.
Yeah, you'll actually hear Indy meowing on the song.
He does.
Yes, he does. He is so special to me. I don't have any human children and don't want any. no offense.
We get that. We understand. Yeah.
But he really is where all my maternal instincts have gone for the last 16 years, So, he was suffering from a chronic kidney disease for the last few years, and I was treating him. Literally his nurse, every single day with pills, and he put up with me amazingly. It's not easy to pill a cat. I don't know if you've ever tried to give a cat a pill.
Oh, we have one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. But we kept our sense of humor through it. But, Yeah, he took a turn for the worse, and we, you know, we tried to see if it was something that would reverse itself, but it was, you know, it was basically his kidneys broke down and all the toxins started going into his body.
And, Andy.
Yeah, it was hard, and, you know, basically I stayed up with him through the night that he passed away, and he was in my arms when he died, and that was just, I've never been that close to death ever.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even aware that it had actually happened. I was still like, oh, we need to, you know,
right.
maybe.
Oh, he must have felt so happy and comfortable and safe.
I hope so.
He was with his mom.
Yeah.
I'm sure he did. We just have 30 seconds and we're going to have to take a break. But when we come back, did you, I might be getting this wrong, but did you say you wrote a song for Indy after he passed?
I did.
Will you play it for us when we come back?
We can talk about it. Let's talk about it.
All right, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
There's a reservation there.
Yes.
We'll talk about it. Okay. We will be right back with more
Allie Handel.
Stay tuned. Kathy will be right back.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com. Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Lucky Dog Leather Jewelry Collections feature the hottest leather accessories around. At Lucky Dog Leather, we offer a wide variety of handmade leather belts, wristbands, and some of the coolest bracelets you will find anywhere. We custom make every piece to order so you get exactly the style and fit you've been looking for. Our original designs have been the choice of Star of Dexter, Michael C. Hall, American Idol winner Lee DeWise, and the voice finalist Vicky Martinez. Go to LuckyDogLeather.com and set your cool free.
Okay, we're back. Allie Handel's going to play a song for us.
Hey.
Tell us what song this is.
Oh, this is a song called You're Still With Me. And I wrote it actually after I lost a very dear friend of mine, Wes Waymiller. And he was my bass player in my band. And, you know, definitely, he died. It was completely accidental. He had, I don't even know exactly what the reason was, but he died in his sleep. And he was a health nut, like literally you look at pictures of him, it's like he's like a male model. He took incredible care of himself, but he was on a lot of different medications. He had just had his thyroid removed, so they were still dealing with kind of the dosages, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was like a problem with the medication, but he literally died in his sleep at age 33.
Wow.
And it was just shocking. It was shocking.
That is shocking.
Yeah. And so anyway, I wrote the song You're Still With Me just about the feeling that, you know, even though, you know, you're gone, you're always in my heart.
It's right.
That, you know, what you leave behind is the love that you spread, you know, while you're
right, exactly.
While you were
alive. Well, I can't wait to hear it.
All right, let's see.
All right, while Allie's right. Setting that up, she's getting her mic and her guitar all ready. I was thinking about what you said about how your kitty cat died while you were holding him and you hadn't noticed. When my dad passed, I was holding his hand and he was unconscious at the time. But I remember the distinct difference in the feeling of his hand between an unconscious man's hand and then an inanimate object is what he felt like after he passed. But nothing changed other than the fact that he had passed. And the change in that energy just of the physicality in his hand was what I really remembered. That's made of something. That's made of something.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is something there that goes away. That's why I'm not really at peace with being an atheist, because I really there is some life force that we do not understand.
Right.
And yeah, the 21 grams.
The 21 grams, I was just wondering
about
that.
Do you know about that?
I think I heard something about the
it was a movie, but it's based on the scientific reality that a body, while it's alive, if you weigh it right after it dies, is 21 grams less.
And 21 like, grams exactly. However, you hear, you know, the phrase dead weight.
I mean,
our
across
bodies,
all these different bodies?
Yes. It's like this
grams,
bizarre
yeah.
thing that they
oh
found.
My God.
Yeah.
It's a film that Sean Penn is in, right?
He's
in,
yeah,
it's really incredible. Okay.
Oh, I want to see that.
It's yeah. the most depressing movie I've ever seen.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Maybe not.
Well, on that note.
And here we go. Allie yeah. Handel.
All right. Well, this is, you're still with me. Is that, do you think the mic's in an okay place there?
Yeah, you sound good.
All that's left of you is love. You're still with me every day. I hold you in my heart, and I give you away. Hasn't hit me that you're gone. I've been far too busy staying strong. How can I believe all that's left of me is over me, resting in the earth, the ground supporting me, rustle in the leaves, whispering to me. We didn't get to say goodbye. Left of you is love. You're still with me every day. I hold you in my heart, and I give you away.
Wow.
That was so beautiful.
That was beautiful, Allie.
That was.
I need a minute.
That was beautiful.
That was really gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, why aren't you famous?
If I knew that, I would change that. If I knew the answer to that, I would do exactly what.
You know, we're actors. We people ask us that question. Like, why don't you're amazing. So what is you're an artist, obviously. You are a musician. This is what you've chosen to do. What is your, like, if you could tomorrow say, this is exactly what I want for my career, what would that be?
I would be touring the world with my rock band and kicking major ass.
There you go.
Because I, you know, like, I mean, I don't, I don't think we talked about this, but I am a guitar player and I play all.
So sorry.
But like on the song While You're Here, like I do all the solos and I play all the guitars on all of my music. So when I play out with my rock band, you know, I'm the lead guitar player and the lead singer. And for me, it's so much fun, especially when people don't know what to expect. You know,
yeah.
They're like, what? This chick? I mean, it's kind of stupid that people are so shocked that a girl can play even after. I mean, it's dumb, but it's true. And, you know, I still like seeing that surprise.
Would you want a commercial career? I mean, would that be something?
Sure.
Or is that sort of like, okay, all right.
Yeah,
well, you know,
sure.
some singers are like, no, I want to stay, you know, like Ani DiFranco, who I love, who we were discussing before the show.
I consider that she does have a commercial career.
Well, but
she does so well.
She does, but I mean, she turned down a record deal. Like very early in her career, she specifically stayed away from.
Well, she wanted to keep control.
Wanted to keep control of her music.
Yeah. But
so,
I think nowadays, you don't need a record deal to have a commercial career.
Not now.
So I mean, I don't see having a record deal as being necessary, but I do see somehow. It takes money to be on the road.
Yeah.
It takes money to be on tour and to get the word out. That's the only, you know, we, as independent artists these days, I think most independent artists really do have the capability to record on our own or with the support of our fans, which a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest thing that people tend to come across is just how to get the word out.
Right.
You know, promotion.
Twitter.
Twitter helps, but you know, if you only have 500 followers,
right.
It's like, how do you get to that level?
What about something like,
wait, while we're thinking of it and while we're talking about finding, I want you guys to all find Allie. Her name is spelled A-L-I, surprisingly.
Yeah.
H-A-N-D-A-L.
That's right.
And it's where you can find her on Twitter, or it's also AllieHandel.com.
Right. Yep. Facebook, all that.
I was just going to say, we're obsessed with The Voice.
Oh,
now, would
yes.
you do something like that? Because I feel like you would.
I think you would fly through those first rounds,
and you would. I feel like you're perfect for that show.
People can't see Allie in front of us right now, but
she's
gorgeous. But you also have that star quality charisma.
Yeah,
like you have that. We can know people who are super talented, you know, but they don't have. They're missing that.
And
like,
she's
X-factor
perfect
thing.
Pitch, amazing voice.
Yeah.
Can play the guitar.
I
like,
love an Allie Handel love fest. Right
yeah,
now.
So
oh, I love it.
I feel like something
here.
Like that.
Well,
that's what I would do with you.
I went to an audition for The Voice a week ago.
Really?
Today. Yeah, and I don't think I impressed them very much. So.
What?
What?
I know so many people who've auditioned for that show and not gotten called who I think are amazing.
You know, it might be the story, too.
Well,
like, you need a good hook.
It's casting.
Right.
It's just like anything.
Yeah.
I've auditioned for so many television things, especially when they're looking for a girl guitar player.
Right.
I've never been chosen. I've done television stuff just because I've been referred, but I didn't have to audition.
Mm-hmm.
But every time, like, a casting director is looking for a female musician or something, I've never chosen because I guess I don't look like...
Here's my theory on that with you, Allie.
Yeah.
Here's my theory, and I think this happens with Jill a lot, too, is... You both carry a sort of star quality charisma, and if they're not looking for you for the lead of something, you can't play next to somebody else because you're going to be.
I'll take it.
I believe that happens. You're going to be louder than the person who's the star. You're going to be louder. You're going to be more captivating.
Yeah. And Ellie's definitely a leading lady type.
Yes.
So I can see that. Like you're beautiful. You're an amazing singer. You play the guitar. But I feel like for them, especially when a woman looks a certain way, you have to have some, like, ridiculous story. Also, like, they're looking for, like, you know, you climbed Mount Everest and saved someone with your guitar or something. You know,
Mount Everest is something I will never, ever do. And I was obsessed
with
that for a while. No, the whole thing about climbing Mount Everest, I mean... That
I have no interest.
I've read so many
Talk
books.
Talk about fear of death.
I know. Well, I mean, that you just have to want to die in a way.
Yeah.
To me, it's just a complete ego thing. It's like, because there's other, like, K2 is harder to climb, but Everest, theoretically, I think it's still the tallest one. I think they were arguing about that a few months ago. But that I was reading books. Like, I read that 127 Hours, and I got obsessed with people who, like, find that need to do these death-defying things.
Right.
It's kind of like...
I don't get that, personally.
I don't get it at all. It's fascinating to me. It's so different from, like, I would be like, no thanks. I mean, I'd like to go on a hike, and I've done...
I'll meet you at Fryman Canyon.
Right, exactly.
With my latte in my right hand.
Yeah, totally.
Well, tell everyone where they can find you one more time.
Oh, it's alihandel.com, alihandal.com. And if you go to my website, you can download a free song. It's my rockin' version of My Sharona.
And do you have a show coming up soon? Or
I do, and you can always check my website for update, especially if you're listening after the fact. But I do have something in LA coming up on Sunday. It's a show called I Love a Good Story.
Okay.
And I'm the musical guest. I'm going to be solo acoustic, playing my own songs. And there's other storytellers who will tell their own stories. It's really kind of a cool storytelling thing, kind of like The Moth. I don't know if people are familiar with that.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Allie.
Awesome. Also find Allie Handel on Twitter, Alihandal, and keep abreast with everything she's doing.
All right. We'll be right back.
Allie, thank you for being here.
Stay tuned. Kathy will be right back.
Licensed psychotherapist and coming out specialist Kathy DeBono is now available to provide the counseling and coming out support that you need to take this vital and necessary step. Kathy now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or communicate through an email exchange. With Kathy's help, you will thoroughly examine your unique life circumstances and create a plan that is tailor-made for you. For more information, go to kathyisin.com.
Lucky Dog Leather Jewelry Collections feature the hottest leather accessories around. At Lucky Dog Leather, we offer a wide variety of handmade leather belts, wristbands, and some of the coolest bracelets you will find anywhere. We custom make every piece to order so you get exactly the style and fit you've been looking for. Our original designs have been the choice of Star of Dexter, Michael C. Hall, American Idol winner Lee DeWise, and the voice finalist Vicky Martinez. Go to LuckyDogLeather.com. And set your cool free.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Honey,
yes.
We're back.
I'm sorry. My friend Jane just walked in the room. I'm all distracted. I'm like, hi, Jane. What you doing here?
We've got blank space, and I'm looking at Kathy, and she's like waving.
I'm like, Jane, this is Allie. Allie, this is Jane. Like, oh, my God, how funny. Well, anyway, okay, we're back. We're just discussing how fantastic Allie's voice is, and if she goes on The Voice, we're gonna be on this radio show hooking everybody up to make sure they vote for her.
Well, we won't have to because people will vote for her.
That's true.
That's just
this
a
is
fact.
Also true.
Yes, I know. Let's call NBC and tell them to put her on the show.
I know. I think if they don't, then they have a big problem. So, all right, let's move on. The last thing that we wanted to talk about today was Ashley Judd. Ashley Judd's
yes.
Kick-ass piece that she wrote. She came out with Ashley's new show is on NBC, I think, as well.
Missing,
yeah. And she had gone through some health issues and some steroidal treatment, and it made her face a little puffy, I guess. This is the way the story goes. And the next thing that happened in the media was all of this crazy speculation about plastic surgery and all kinds of work that she must have had done, and that she's 43 years old, and you can't see a wrinkle on her face, and of course she must have had work done, and the truth is, she was sick and had treatment with steroids, and if anybody's ever had that, they know it makes your face a little puffy.
Yeah, like she was, I think I read she was really sick, and so they needed her to do the PR tour for the show. So in order to be able to do it, she took steroids to just so that she could do the press junket.
Right, well, whatever the reason, she had treatment for
right.
something.
Right, no, I know, I'm just saying, like, you know, why she would have gone to use steroids in the first place.
Right, well, it's she like, wasn't competing in, like, a bodybuilding
right.
contest or anything.
Exactly.
Like that. No. it was definitely health-related, and she wrote that, now, some of you know that I knew Ashley way back in the day when we went to the University of Kentucky, and we were kids, and she had, like, you know, braces with little rubber bands in her mouth, and she was adorable and so smart, one of the smartest women I've ever known. And if you read her piece, bring a thesaurus with you or a dictionary.
Yeah, watch her interviewed, and she's going to throw a $5 word at you every other. She's brilliant.
I just adore her because that's truly who she is. She's not trying to impress anybody. She's just beautiful, talented, and intelligent.
Yeah.
And that's the way it goes. And if you go to her website, I was recently, I was like, what's Ashley been up to these days? And I went to her website. The woman is amazing with her activism, and she's everywhere and all over the world, and she's really smart and really focused on the well-being of women and just human beings in general. And her article was about the misogynistic way women are torn apart and how we do it to each other.
Yeah.
And what she was noticing was not only was this patriarchy is not men, patriarchy is what everyone does to women.
Right.
And
that women participate. They fully participate, and they're often sometimes worse about it than men are. I mean, yes, you know, there's Maxim magazine, there's all kinds of stuff, but truthfully, I find female-on-female misogyny to be even more disgusting because we should be supporting each other. We should be, you know...
Well, it is, and she says that as well.
We should be focusing on something other than a woman's appearance. It's always the first thing. I mean, even when we go back to, you know, when Hillary was running for president, and they're sitting there talking about what she's wearing, and I'm like, and her hair... we don't do that to the men.
Or if she's attractive or not attractive.
Right.
I mean, that is ridiculous. Or I love how when men get older, they get distinguished and sexy. And when women get older, they become, you know, irrelevant and ugly. Or they need to have surgery. And then if they do have plastic surgery, they're then ridiculed for having plastic surgery.
Right.
It's like there's no winning.
Right.
There's absolutely no winning. And Ashley's article at the end of it, she kind of puts a call to action out there to women to stop doing this to each other. But not to stop participating in the talk, but to talk about it in a different way.
Right.
And to not allow this to happen. So I just wanted to encourage everyone to go find Ashley's article, read it, comment on it, Twitter about it, do whatever you need to do to join the conversation so that women can start banding together.
Yeah.
It also made me think of Toddlers and Tiaras that we were watching yesterday.
I was going to mention that, too.
Yeah.
We're obsessed with watching Toddlers and Tiaras, which I'm not proud of, but
it's a train wreck.
And
you can't turn away.
And it's like, it's unreal to watch these toddlers dressed up in makeup. I'm 27 years old. I've never worn fake eyelashes in my life. And these 2-year-olds are wearing fake eyelashes.
Like, and have spray tans.
And their fake hair. These dresses, they do really inappropriate dance moves with really short skirts on. I mean, it's like they're baby strippers.
And if we could show you right now, I'd have Becca reenact some of them.
Because I can definitely, I'm flexible enough to do them.
aside from it being horrific how sexualized these little kids are, what we were noticing particularly last night is exactly what Ashley's talking about in her article, is these two little girls, they were about 7 or 8 years old, and they were going to
a pageant.
And there was the beeline story of their behind-the-scenes sort of...
competition.
Cattiness with each other.
Yeah,
it was horrible.
They're 8 years old.
Yeah. And they're commenting on how the other looks. And, like, we think, what do we do with little boys? We put them on sports teams so that they learn how to work together. What do we do with little girls? We put them in competition with one another. We're training them to perpetuate this, you know, this misogyny later in life. Because women view each other as competition. They don't view each other as allies. It starts
at
a very young...
And what they compete with is a very shallow... viewpoint of themselves. They're not even competing on brain games or intellectualism,
right,
or activism in the world, or they're not competing on those levels. They're competing for who's prettier,
mm-hmm,
who's more sexually
and who has a better tan,
desirable,
right,
and how can I objectify myself better than you can objectify yourself,
right?
Well, and another thing I wanted to bring up that Jane actually just mentioned to me, which I had actually open on Facebook right now, is that there's a documentary called Misrepresentation.
Yes.
And it is exactly about what Ashley Judd spoke about in her op-ed, which is about how girls and women are objectified so awfully in media. And Misrepresentation is a documentary that...
It's amazing. Jen Siebel, who is married to Gavin Newsom, who is the mayor of San Francisco, created this film.
Yeah, and it's about how to empower girls and boys and how to really focus on being positive for kids so that they grow up not having the same ridiculous ideas about what women are supposed to look like, what they're supposed to do. So you should check out that. You can find misrepresentation on Facebook, or the website is MISSREP.org.
Okay, so next week.
Go, honey, go.
Next week, our guest is Nathan Mansky. He has a project called I'm From Driftwood, and there's actually a benefit that Kathy and I are on the host committee for that's happening on April 22nd.
If you're not early in the morning, is it?
No, it's from 1 to 6. So if you're in L.A., please consider coming and, you know,
where can I find details about that, honey?
What?
The details about that.
It's on Facebook.
Oh, everything's on Facebook.
I'm From Driftwood.
Crying out loud. I'm From Driftwood. All right. All right. Well, guys, listen, if you're listening on LA Talk Radio, this is where we say goodbye. If you're listening almost anywhere else on CBS News Sky or anywhere else, stay tuned because we're going to be back with music from Allie Handel while you're here and her song about her kitty cat, Indy. We will see you next time.
Bam! They made it through another one.
Double or nothing next week, Sue.
You're on.
Listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono. You're locked in. We say what we want.
You're listening to Kathy is In with psychotherapist Kathy DeBono. For more information or to book a private session with Kathy, go to KathyIsIn.com. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in.
You're listening to Kathy Is In, the Kathy DeBono Show. Kathy Is In, the Kathy DeBono Show.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Are you seeking clarity? Do worries about your health, job, parents, children, or pets keep you awake, tossing and turning at night? Are you considering a major life change? Looking for love? Do you want to create a life of joy? Let psychic Elizabeth Anglin help. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838 to schedule your life clarifying appointment today. Don't waste time being worried. Psychic Elizabeth Anglin at ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838.